All right. Well, good morning, friends. My name is Gretchen, and I am on staff here at Sycamore Creek Church, and I am also on the teaching team, and I'm excited to be here today. Now, somebody reminded me this morning of a little nickname that Pastor Tom gave me. He calls me the Swiss Army Knife staff person because I can do just about anything. And I remembered that my husband bought me a purple Swiss Army knife. Yeah, yeah. So there we go. I'm the Swiss Army knife. I got my purple Swiss Army knife. And we are going to talk a little bit about being happy this morning. Now, I love how there's the emojis up on the screen because I love using emojis. And you see this guy with the Z's above his head? Marion doesn't see it, but I hope the rest of you do. He's tired, right? That emoji is me today. I overslept. I'm tired this morning. So here's this one. Do you guys recognize this guy with the sunglasses? He's the cool guy, right? But you know what? I think really he's got the glasses on to cover up the fact that he's tired. So maybe this one's me this morning. I don't know. I love using emojis. I like to use this one right here when I'm looking at my kids. Jeremy, I caught you. You were looking at Nora this morning. He had the hearts in his eyes. I was like, stop being so cute, Jeremy. Right? Sometimes I use this one for my kids. Wait, where'd it go? This one. Because my kids just say funny things. I laugh so hard, I cry. Right? What else do we got here? Let's see. Oh, I like this one. You know what this one is? He's the winky face. Like, Quentin, you said something really funny. I'm going to wink at you. Right? Right? What about, oh, this one. What's this guy? He's blowing you a kiss. Right? Okay, so today I think, though, that we're going to talk about this guy. This guy's the happy one, right? He's happy. What is happiness, right? Do you notice how in the title, it doesn't say happy with an exclamation point. It's got happy with a question mark. Because we don't really know what happiness is. So in the dictionary, the word happy is defined as delighted or pleased or glad over a particular thing. And it also says that it's pleasure, contentment, or joy. That's a lot of different things. So what does this word happy mean? Now, this series, we're basing it off of this book called Happy, What It Is and How to Find It. And this book is written by Matt Miofsky. Now, I was going to say that you could go to the micro bookstore and buy it right now, but actually somebody took the last copy this morning. But you can get this in lots of places on Amazon or whatever. And you know Amazon got the happy face going for you. So you can pick it up on Amazon, and I wouldn't be surprised if we restock that book into the micro bookstore. So pick up this book. It's a really short little book. It's a quick read. But we're going to talk about that over the next few weeks. The fact that we all want to be happy, don't we? We all want to be happy, but what is it? Now, I'm not going to be talking today about this feeling of happiness. Like, the music this morning was so good, wasn't it? The band was amazing. Yes. That song, Don't Worry, Be Happy, it made me feel really good. I loved it. It was so fun. But that's going to go away eventually. I'm not going to keep feeling happy all day long, all week long. So that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about something deeper, something more to do with contentment in life. But we all want to be happy, and really our society is obsessed with being happy. You know, all week long as I'm working on this message, I've been hearing the word happy in music. I've been hearing it on TV. People talk about, are you happy? What makes you happy? That kind of thing. And you know, we're told all over the place that things are going to make us happy, like books. I just put books on happiness into my Google search, and there's a ton of books about happiness. Like this one by Matt Miofsky is not the only one. There's The Happiness Project, The Art of Happiness, Stumbling on Happiness, The Happiness Hypothesis. So there's all these books about happiness. We look for happiness in TV. Happiness is watching a TV show you haven't seen in years, right? Or in movies. There's a movie called The Pursuit of Happiness. It's actually kind of a tearjerker. I don't know if it's really happy or not. It's a good one, though. I'd recommend it. It's a good movie. You know, and like I said, Amazon. Man, when that box is on the porch and it's got that smiley, I'm pretty happy. I like getting that box from Amazon. So we see it in marketing. We're told in advertisements that if we have just, you know, this fill-in-the-blank item, that we'll be happy. Like Coke, open happiness. We'll be happy if we chew a little piece of Trident, a little piece of happy, right? You know, we think these things are going to make us happy. And our society tells us all different things that are going to make us happy. So I actually took the opportunity to ask some of the kids in our church, what makes you happy? Check out what they had to say.
I like the zoo.
What made me happy is that I got a new Lego set in my kids' book.
What makes me happy is Boston cream pie.
I like playing basketball a lot.
I got a break from school.
Break.
What makes me happy is reading.
I'm making one, but it's not finished.
I love spending time with my friends.
Ice cream.
What makes me happy is Harry Potter and God.
Drawing makes me happy.
Puppies, cats, and Jesus and God.
And I love only having sleepovers and staying up really late.
Puppies, cats, Jesus, and God, right? We could go home. That's it. Oh, no, Marion's leaving. Oh, no. Do you remember what made you happy when you were a kid? Man, there were so many things that I wanted when I was a kid because, you know, commercials told me I needed those things. I always wanted an Easy Bake Oven. I always wanted one. You know, my parents never bought me an Easy Bake Oven, but I found one at a garage sale, and I bought it, and I think I made two things with it, and it's sitting in my parents' basement right now. Like, I never used it. It might have been thrown away, like, honestly. I always wanted a Tamagotchi. I did get one. Do you guys remember these? Anybody that's around my age? Tamagotchi, yes! Did you know they came out with this? And then Marion reminded me, there's actually an app you can get on your phone. Now, let me just tell you, I know, Chrissy, she's going to download it today, I can tell. I tell you what, though, you couldn't take it to school. And if you didn't feed it, it would die. And you know what my mom said? Bummer. She didn't feed my Tamagotchi. Here's the other thing I really wanted, as many as I could get. Beanie Babies. When we were kids, we were told that Beanie Babies were going to be worth a lot of money someday. And there were these coveted Beanie Babies, right? The one that I always wanted was the Princess Diana one, the purple one with the white flower. Well, we have one at our house. My mother-in-law bought it for our daughter at a garage sale, and it sits in the bottom of the big thing of all the stuffed animals. It's not worth anything. We don't play with it. We don't use it. We didn't find happiness in that stuff, right? So at Harvard, they did a long-running study called the Study of Adult Development. It was running for almost 80 years. They started off with 268 male sophomore students, and then they later added women and other people in the community, not just students of Harvard. And this study, like I said, ran for almost 80 years, and there were four different scientists, researchers, who were heading up this program. The fourth researcher was a guy named Robert Waldinger, and he did a TED Talk recently, and he said that in the study, they found that millennials would say that what they thought was going to make them happiness, what they wanted to achieve, to get, was riches. They wanted wealth, lots of money, and they wanted to be famous. And you know, I can relate to that. When I was a kid, I wanted to be famous. I'm pretty sure I wanted to be famous when I was in high school, because I thought I was going to go to college and learn to be an awesome singer, and I was going to be famous, right? That's how it works. That's what I thought anyways. But that's just not it. We find that these things, they don't make us happy. The things we pursue to find true happiness do not make us happy. So what is it then? Well, you know, there's a similar study on happiness in the Bible. This is something I had no idea. I didn't think about it this way until I was reading this book, that the book of Ecclesiastes is a study on happiness. Now, there's like lots of contradicting ideas about who wrote this book, but for our purposes, we're going to say that it was King Solomon. Now, King Solomon started by writing the book Song of Solomon, you know, a steamy book, right? And then he got a little older, got a little smarter, wiser, and he wrote the Proverbs. And then at the end of his life, he wrote the book Ecclesiastes about all the things that he tried to do to achieve happiness, all the things that he tried to pursue to achieve happiness. So we're going to take a look at that today. And here's what Solomon had to say at the beginning of his book. He said, "Perfectly pointless," says the teacher, "perfectly pointless. Everything is perfectly pointless." Well, yeah, that's a downer, huh? So he did all these things, and perfectly pointless is what he says. So let's take a look at some of those things that he sought to make him happy. And they're things that I think we all try to use to make us happy today. So what are the things that we think will make us happy? Well, the first one is work. We think if we find meaningful work in our lives, then that will make us truly happy. Well, here's what Solomon had to say about that. He said, "I hated the things I worked so hard for here under the sun, because I will have to leave them to someone who comes after me. And who knows whether that one will be wise or foolish. Either way, that person will have control over the results of all of my hard work and wisdom here under the sun. That, too, is pointless." Ugh. So he says, yeah, work is cool, but then I have to leave it to somebody else. When I graduated college and I came home, I lived in Indiana when I was in college, and I came back home afterwards, and I got a job at a daycare. And I worked at a daycare for 4 years. It was called Elmwood Nazarene Child Care Center. It's still there, but I don't think they even call it that anymore. And I loved it. I loved working with the kids. I worked with one-year-olds. One-year-olds are super fun because they're, like, just starting to walk, and they're trying to talk. And saying Gretchen is, like, really hard when you're one-year-old. So that was super fun, and they were cute. I learned a lot about child development. I got to take classes to continue my education while I was there, and I learned a lot of really interesting things. And I felt like I made a difference in their lives. I got to make some lasting friendships with my coworkers. I got to know the parents, and I made some friendships with them as well. But you know what? So many things have changed since I worked there. I visited a few times since I stopped working there, and almost all of the people I worked with are not there anymore. So there's the people that work there now, they don't even know who I am. Like, I walk in thinking I'm somebody, you know, I'm Miss Gretchen, I worked here. I'm not somebody, they don't even know who I am. I got to name my classroom. It started off as the Little Ducks, and then I named it the Toucan Clan, because I had this big cutout of Toucan Sam, so I put it on the wall, and I'm pretty sure it's not called the Toucan Clan anymore. I don't think that, you know, it seems like it was as if I was never there. They just kept on going after I left. I actually ran into one of my students recently. So the parent of one of my students owns and runs a store that I like to frequent. And her kids were there with her because it was Christmas break. And she said, "Maya, do you remember Miss Gretchen?" Maya doesn't remember me. She's like 8 or 9 years old at this point. She looks completely different. I didn't even recognize her. She doesn't remember who I am. So it's as if I was never in her life. That's what it feels like. And that's what Solomon's getting at here. He says, I mean, what do people get for all their hard work and struggles under the sun? All their days are pain and their work is aggravation. Even at night, their hearts don't find rest. This too is pointless. Yeah. So work, it's pointless. That's what Solomon says. So what else? What else could we do? Could we seek to find true happiness? So the next thing Solomon works at is stuff. He's like, well, maybe if I get a lot of stuff and a lot of money and I'm really successful, then I'll be happy. Here's what he says about that. He says, the money lover isn't satisfied with money. Neither is the lover of wealth satisfied with income. This too is pointless. When good things flow, so do those who consume them. But what do owners benefit from such goods except to feast their eyes on them? So he says, no, it's not stuff either. You know, I talked a little bit about some of the stuff that I was into as a kid. Well, I recently got a new phone. A couple months ago, I got an iPhone 8. I was pretty excited about it because my old phone just did not have any space, and I like taking pictures of my babies. So I needed more space on my phone so I could have apps on there and take pictures of my babies. So I was super excited about this because it's brand new and it's pretty and it does all these cool things. And then I started seeing commercials for the iPhone 10, the X or whatever you call it. Yes, it's so fancy. Did you know that that has a face ID? I can look at my phone and it will recognize me. I can use, David's laughing at me over here. I can use it to pay for things, Apple Pay. You can even, so it has the true depth camera, and you can use that to create an emoji of yourself. Right? That's cool, guys. I keep seeing these commercials and I'm like, oh man, yes. And then it has a much higher power efficiency than most other phones. How many people get to somewhere they're going and they don't have their phone cord and their phone is like on 10%? Happens to me all the time. I heard a rumor that Noah back here, who's running presentation, keeps his charger in his pocket all the time. Maybe I just need to hang out with Noah more often. Right? Because it happens to me all the time. Oh, Marion's got a cool chargy thing, too. That's fancy, Marion. See, now I want more stuff. But you know what? Getting the iPhone 10 isn't going to make me happy, is it? No, I'm probably not even going to know how to work it. Honestly. We think if we only had this, if only I had 3 bedrooms instead of 2, right? When I worked at the daycare, I thought, well, if only I made $10 an hour, then I'd have enough to pay my bills. Or if only I had $12 per hour, I would be happier. Or if I made $40,000 a year instead of $30,000 a year. Or if I had a newer, better car. Or if I had a car at all. Or if I had a car that ran, you know? Right now, my window is frozen shut, so I can't go through the drive-thru. I have to get out of the car at Walgreens to get my medicine, guys. It's very upsetting. If only I could get that next promotion, right? Or if only I could reach the fill-in-the-blank achievement that I want to reach. Or if only I could be rich and famous. If only. How many times? We hear that. We say it all the time. We hear it all the time. We think if only we have that next better thing, that's going to make us happy. So I saw this video recently about celebrities talking about materialism and stuff and being famous. And let's find out if it made them happy.
When How I Met Your Mother first went on the air, I ran into an actress that I knew, and she said, "Are you just like so happy all the time?"
Why am I unhappy? Okay, so Stephanie Gaga hybrid person. Why are you unhappy? Why is it that you want to quit music?
And I remember thinking like, oh, that sitcom's coming. Like that sitcom, it's coming. And when I got it, I mean, I won't say it was a depression, but you kind of go through a disappointment because that fame or that thing didn't satisfy the way you thought it was going to satisfy.
I had bought into the not uncommon notion that when I taste success, when I get over there, then I'll be happy. But the strangest thing happened. As the show got more successful, I got more depressed.
I had everything a man could want, even then. I was a millionaire. I had a beautiful women in my life. I had cars, a house, an incredible, solid gold career, and a future. And yet, on a daily basis, I wanted to commit suicide.
As a Beatle, we made it, and there was nothing to do. We had money. We had fame, and there was no joy.
You know, we all seek these things. That was like, that went back in time, like all these famous people that they thought, once I get famous, once I have all this stuff and this money, then I'll be happy. And they found that's not the case at all. That didn't satisfy them. So Solomon tells us, just as they came from their mother's womb naked they'll return. Ending up just like they started. All their hard work produces nothing. Nothing they can take with them. So can I take my iPhone 8 with me? No. If I became famous, would I be able to take that with me? No. None of this stuff is going to satisfy that deep hunger we have for happiness. So stuff, it's pointless. So what next? Let's look at one more thing. Another thing that we seek to make us happy is pleasure. We think, okay, so if I make myself happy right now in the moment, if I do the thing that makes me feel good right now, then I'll be happy. But that's not the case either. Solomon says, I said to myself, let's go for it, experiment with pleasure, have a good time. But there was nothing to it, nothing but smoke. What do I think of the fun-filled life? Insane, it's insane. My verdict on the pursuit of happiness, who needs it? I love this. This is the Message paraphrase. And I just love the way it says that. It's insane. What do I think of this fun-filled life? It's all craziness. You know, this can be sometimes called the drug, sex, and rock and roll approach. It's the pleasures of the flesh. Like, it's an escapist strategy. So maybe doing that thing right now makes me feel good, but it's not going to make me feel good in the long run, is it? We think it will, but it won't. You know, I see this all over the internet. Do what makes you feel happy. Do more of what makes you feel happy. There's a bunch of them. Do what makes you feel happy. Do more of what makes you feel happy. We're told this all the time. And this looks nice, doesn't it? It's pretty. But that's not it. That's not going to satisfy those longings that we have. You know, I don't know what it is for you, but for me, it's sweets. Oh, man. My mother-in-law makes some amazing amount of sweets. I saw somebody raise their hand. You can relate to this. She makes the most amazing treats for Christmas. And we get this big, huge bag that we get to take home and enjoy. And my husband eats the sweets like it's nothing. Like, he goes through it and through it and through it. Like, if I don't get my hands on it, I'm going to miss out. And you know what I say to myself? Well, just one more. Just one more cookie. Just one more piece of chocolate. That's not going to hurt anything. But then I go to my doctor's office, and Dr. Shoemaker has me stand on the scale. And I look at the number, and I think, oh, whoa. Okay, maybe I should have held back a little bit, right? I realized that maybe it felt good in the moment, but in the long run, it didn't make me happy. So pleasure, it's pointless. You know, Solomon, he tries many other things in his search for happiness. He tries novelty, experiences, wisdom, even religion. And now, I'm not talking about faith. I'm talking about religion. It's that rote experience. Like, if I fill in the blank X, Y, and Z of religious practices, then I'll be happy. That's not what we're talking about here. So all those things that Solomon tries, they don't satisfy him. Like I said earlier, the things that we pursue to try to find true happiness do not make us truly happy. Nothing will make you happy. That's it. That's one thing I want you to take home today. Nothing will make you happy. But look how I separated the word. No thing will make you happy. No thing. There's no thing in this entire world that can make us happy, that can fill us in that deep place with the true happiness that we're seeking. You know, when I got to this part of the book, I felt so depressed. Like, I'm not even making this up. I was like, thanks a lot, Matt. Really? I felt like Eeyore. I was so upset I forgot to be happy, right? Oh, that's what it felt like. And man, Ecclesiastes is like that too. Perfectly pointless. So you're probably thinking, thanks a lot, Gretchen. You just wasted my time, 20 minutes of my day, and now I have to go see my therapist again this week for an extra time, right? Well, hang with me for a minute because we're going to turn it around right here. He also says in Ecclesiastes, two are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. So there it is, right? Solomon tells us what the answer is. What is it? It's relationships. Meaning in our lives come from relationships with God and with others. That's the only thing that's going to make us happy, is to have deep, meaningful relationships with others and with God. You know, I think I preach about this almost every time I get up here, but it's so important, and it's the greatest commandment. It says in Matthew, you know, that the greatest commandment is this, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second is what? It's like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. So it's these three relationships. They're so important. Love God and love yourself and love others. You know, so meaning in our lives is going to come from these deep, meaningful relationships with God and with ourselves and with others. Remember that study that I mentioned earlier, the Harvard study of adult development? Well, they found, it said in the Harvard Gazette, that they found close relationships, more than money or fame, are what keep people happy throughout their lives. And Robert Waldinger, who was the last researcher in this group of researchers, says, the surprising finding is that our relationships and how we are in our relationships has a powerful influence on health, on our health. So positive, deep, meaningful relationships are going to keep us happier throughout our lives, and they're going to keep us healthier. Isn't that amazing? It's so important, these relationships. You know, I'm going to say this a few more times because I really, really want you to remember it. What did we talk about the word happy in the dictionary? It's delighted and pleased or glad over a particular thing, or pleasure, contentment, or joy. But Solomon is showing us that's not it. There's a little more to it than what we think. So perhaps happiness is listening to God's wisdom, God's words, knowing what we're created for, and living into those purposes. So how can we grow these relationships? How can we develop these relationships over time to help us to fill that place in us that longs for happiness? Well, one way is to join a small group. In your program, you'll find a little pamphlet that looks like this, and this is called our group link. And this month, we're having sign-ups for small groups. There's 51 small groups that you can sign up for. I know. So I have a little story for you. When I first started coming to Sycamore Creek, I was not married. I didn't have kids. So I felt like there wasn't people like me here. I was like, oh, there's nobody I can really connect with around here. And back when we were still worshiping at Lansing Christian School, I remember standing in the hallway with Mark Opperly, who's Pastor Mark now. He wasn't then. And I said to him, Mark, there's nobody like me around here. There's no group I can join. There's nobody that, like, I can relate to. And I just don't know what to do. And do you know what he told me? He said, join a small group. Yep. And I got to be honest with you here, and I'm pretty sure I've told this to Mark. I went home and I was really annoyed. I was like, seriously, Mark? That's what you're going to tell me? Like, for real? Well, you know what happened? I think I waited a good long time before I joined a small group. I did finally join a small group. And that was the moment that I began to feel like I really belonged at Sycamore Creek. And I found deep, meaningful friendships that I know they're going to last because they fill that space in me, that longing for happiness. And they help me connect with God, and they help me connect with myself. So I'd encourage you to pull this out and look at it. There's got to be a group in here for you. And you know what? One of the groups says other. So if there is not a group in here that you connect with, that's okay, because you can just grab the book Happy and invite a few of your friends to go out to coffee and read it and talk about it. You can start your own group. So that's just one way that you can develop friendships and your relationships. Another thing you could do is call up that friend that you haven't talked to in a while. I just had coffee with somebody this week that I hadn't talked to in a long time. And it was so great to reconnect in that way, to have somebody hear about my life and hear about theirs. Spend some time asking your mom or your dad or your brother or your sister or your aunt or your uncle or your child, how are things really going? What is new with your life? You know, it seems silly, but like that's something we need to ask. That friend that I had coffee with, she said, what is going on in your life? We haven't talked in a long time. And it was so nice to be able to share those things with her. Have dinner with your spouse and tell them something that you've never told them before, or with your friend or with your cousin or your sibling. There's got to be something, I can guarantee it, that you have never told your spouse before. Even if it's silly, like, you know, I like to wear purple socks and they've never seen them before. You know, something silly as that. Tell your spouse something they don't know about you. Sit next to your child or your niece or your nephew or your grandchild and do something with them that they enjoy. Just this weekend, I laid on the floor and I colored with my daughter. It was very hard to get up, but I laid on the floor and I colored with my daughter, and she said to my husband, Daddy, Mommy's coloring with me. She felt special because I was doing something with her that she loved. Are there annoying household chores that you just hate doing above all else? For me, it's dishes. I really hate dishes. Anybody who knows me knows how I feel about them. I hate them. Right, David? He knows. I talk about it in our small group all the time. So if you hate dishes or you hate whatever it is, maybe sweeping, maybe organizing, do it with somebody else. Do it with your spouse or somebody you live with or a friend. If you have a friend who's like super good at dishes, you just invite them over and say, will you help me? And then you can talk while you're doing dishes together. Has anybody in here set a New Year's resolution? No, a lot of us don't anymore, and you know why? Because we always fail at them. That's why I don't set a New Year's resolution, because I always fail at them. Well, you know what? If I commit to it with a friend, I'm way more likely to keep it. And I build that relationship. One of the groups right in here, number four, is that you can meet with Bob and Elvia Trout and whoever else is in the group at McGuire Park, which is on the corner of Jolly and Aurelius, and they're going to walk to worship. Oh, you know what, though? If you walk fast enough, it might keep you warm. I hear you, Marianne. I don't like being cold either. But there you go. Commit to getting healthier with a friend. Walk to worship. It's like a mile and a half, I think they said, or 3 miles, something like that. So there's lots of ways that you can develop relationships right here at Sycamore Creek. You can develop relationships with those that you interact with on a daily basis, and it's going to keep you happier and healthier. Meaning in our lives comes from relationships with God and with others. Will you pray with me? Dear Jesus, thank you so much for the opportunity to gather here together and to talk about what is happiness and how do we find it. I pray that you would be with each and every person today, that they would find opportunities to deepen and to strengthen their relationship with others, their relationships with you, and their relationships with themselves. And I pray that you would help each of us to have a deeper understanding of what happy really is. And I pray these things in your holy name. Amen.